change my dress because it's four videos. We can't have the same dress on all four videos. Besides that, gave me an excellent excuse to go buy another dress. I was thrilled. It has been an incredible pleasure working with Tracy and Richard and Tom in Reliable Communications. They've just done a beautiful work. It is not easy to be unobtrusive in a meeting like this, and they really are. I don't know, I'm just not even aware of the cameras, and I hope you're not either, but they will probably have some really good videos because they're great men. I have to tell you about Paul Matthew. My sister is Marilyn Hans. She is 20 years younger than I am. So if I'm 62, she's 42. From the time she was a little girl, she wanted to be married to a preacher and have a whole lot of kids. And she wanted to breastfeed those little kids. These are her choices. They are not mine, but they are her choices. And she grew up, indeed, married a minister. They have a church in Holland, Michigan, and she has five children and has breastfed each one of them. Again, her choice, certainly not mine. But she had four girls and finally had Paul Matthew, the little boy. And Paul Matthew was an experience. After her four girls, the routine was that she would breastfeed the baby until they were, get this, 2.5 years old. And the last year of breastfeeding, she would sit them on her lap at night, and it would just be one feeding, and she would sit them on her lap. And then she would tell them stories, she would read them from the Bible, and she would teach them choruses and songs and talk to them about the Lord. And it's a wonderful bonding process. And when she had the four girls, they all turned out to be very, very intelligent girls. They're all in the honor programs, and they're all, you know, gifted students and all of that. Then she gets this little boy. And everybody in their huge congregation says to her, "Marilyn, you're going to really learn what being a mother is all about. Now that you've finally got a little boy, you know how easy it was to potty train your four little girls? Look out. You're not going to be able to do that. And breastfeeding and everything else, it's going to be a trip because boys are so different." And she just was so thankful for a little boy that she didn't pay any attention to them. Except that for 2 years, she was unable to potty train Paul Matthew or even teach him to go in the papers. And it was really bad. The other problem with Paul Matthew was that with all of her daughters, they talked from about 9 months of age, and they were very verbal, and their verbal skills were incredible. This little boy comes along, and he does not say a word. He barely says mm-hmm and mm-mm. And so everybody's a little nervous about several factors about little Paul Matthew. He's about 2 years old, and he is not talking, and he is not potty trained. And he comes in from play one day, and he just sort of waddles in. And my sister Marilyn looks at him, and she says, "Paul Matthew, you know, you can come in and tell me when you have to go potty. You can do this." And he just smiles at her, and he's a delightful little boy, but he doesn't talk, and he keeps doing this in his trousers. And she puts him up on the changer table, and she's changing his diapers, and he's 2 years old, and she looks down, and she undoes these Pampers, and she says, "Oh, I cannot believe this." And she tells me that it was just a load, a huge load in those diapers. And she just stood there looking at it. And all of a sudden, Paul Matthew raises up on one elbow, and he looks down at himself, and he looks up at her, and the first words out of his mouth, and he's 2 years old, is, "Oh, Mom, that's disgusting." Where he learned to talk. He must have been practicing alone in the bathroom or something. But from that moment on, then, his vocabulary was his sister's. And he's so darling and he's so sweet that he has every right in this church setting to be the most spoiled brat in the world. And he's not. He's just delightful and he's sweet. Everybody in the whole congregation loves him. And my sister is just thrilled that at least she knows now that he can talk. But the potty trained business wasn't happening. And it was coming up to 2.5 years old. And just before that 2.5 year mark came, he decided that he could finally wear, he said, he's in a family with 4 sisters. He said to her one day when he decided that he wasn't going to wear diapers anymore, he came to her and he said, "It's time for me to wear girls' panties." She said, "You mean boys' training pants?" And he said, "Yeah, whatever." And so he was finally potty trained. And then came that 2.5 year mark where she was not going to breastfeed him anymore. And Paul, my brother-in-law, had a ministerial conference in California, and so Marilyn went to Paul Matthew, and she said, "Daddy and I are leaving, and we're going to be gone 3 days, and I want you to know that this is the end of breastfeeding, and I won't be nursing you anymore, and we're going to California." And she said, he took it relatively well, and no tears, and she thought, "This is easier than I thought it was going to be." And she went to California, came back, and nothing was said. Paul Matthew, the first night she was home, nothing was said, and second night, and Marilyn said, "Boy, that was really great. It was really easy." And about the third day they were home, Paul Matthew came in from playing, and he said, Mom, we have got to nurse tonight." And she said, "No, I told you that you drank it all up. There is no more." And he said, "Mom, I have had a terrible day, and you have got to do that." And she said, "No, I'm sorry." And he said, "Well, could we just try, you know, just try?" And she said, "Okay, but I'm telling you, there is nothing there, and it won't work." And he said, "Fine, but let's just try." And she said, "All right." So after supper, before he went to bed, took him on her lap, and he climbed up on her lap, and he took, I never know how to say this, he took, drags doesn't seem appropriate, sucks doesn't seem appropriate, but he took 2 swigs, okay, and he pulled back from her, and he said, "You're right, there's nothing there," gets off her lap, and she thinks, "Well, now it's finally settled. Now this is the end of that." And a few days later, he comes in from playing again, and his face is long, and his attitude is really sad. And he comes in, she's making dinner, and he comes in and he says, "Mom, you just gotta nurse me another time." And she says, "I am sorry, get out of the kitchen." Now my sister is very different from me. My sister never raises her voice. She's quiet. That's very different from me. She's a unique mother. She controls her children by remote control. She's got this remote somewhere, and she just presses it, you know, and they do whatever she wants to. And she doesn't raise her voice. But she told him very firmly, "Get out of the kitchen. I am making dinner, and you cannot nurse anymore. It is over." And he heard that tone in her voice, even though she didn't raise her voice. He heard what she was saying. So he went, "Okay," and he walks out of the kitchen. And he walks on into the den. And in the den are his 4 sisters, and they're in various activities, studying, playing games, and doing various things. And his father's in there reading the newspaper. And he goes in there, and he stands for a long time. He goes right into the center of the room. And finally, Christy, the oldest, looks up and notices him. And she looks at him and she says, "Paul Matthew, what are you doing? What's the matter, honey?" He's just standing there and looking very sad. And she kept saying, "Paul Matthew, what's the matter?" And he looked at this sister and this one and this one. And he looked at Christy and he looked over at his dad. And he looked at them all together and he said, "Is there anybody in this room who can nurse me?" It's I think that every time I walk into a service where I'm supposed to be speaking, I hear, can anybody in this room nurse me? And in more common tones, can anybody in this room comfort me? Can anybody in this room, does anybody care? Does anybody hear me? Does anybody know what I'm going through? Is there anybody here who can help me out of whatever I'm in? It's no coincidence. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. What little Paul Matthew wanted was comforting. He didn't need the milk. He didn't need nourishment. He didn't need sermons. He just wanted to be comforted. And I've wondered how many times have I walked into a place and thought, does anybody care? Does anybody really care? And you can say that's selfish. It's okay, go right ahead. But it's just a thought that when I heard him, what he said, can anybody in this room nurse me? I thought, if the church isn't set up to do this comforting, to translate the Holy Spirit from the heavens, or wherever God is, the heavens to the workplace and to the church and to the home, and out this way, horizontally, instead of just always it being vertically. What is my part in this?